when you think of Volvo, you think of what? Volvo car. When you think of Volvo, you think of safety, right? So when you think of McDonald's, you think of what? Loving it. I'm loving it. When you think of KFC, you think of what? Finger licking good, yes. When you think of Nike, what you think of? Just do it. I mean, you think of Zion God's mission, you think of what? Well, this morning, you know, when you think of Zion God's mission, you think of the sisters who are serving us, you know, the roti, the bread. You know, this morning I was really touched. When I stepped out of the lift, Michelle was the one greeting me, good morning, and say, these are the, you know, types of buns we have this morning. You know, which one you want? So I chose the tuna bun. Wow, that's really amazing, right? You know, if that is really a, you know, Zion God's mission culture, that'd be wonderful. Yeah. So the first impression count, that's why companies, food chains, spend a lot of time and money in branding, right? They want people to buy their products. What about the church? The church has the greatest message of hope. You know, we have the greatest message of hope, but how does that show up in our actions? And how does that show up in our speech? Surely, they have a lot to say about what we really believe in. So pre-believers form a lasting impression of us. They're impacted by the culture of the church. It either attracts them or dispels them. A generous culture breeds generous people. So what is culture? Okay, this is what Buster Benny's definition of culture is. It is a product of conviction which produces conduct of a certain kind. So every church, organization, and family have a culture. It determines the way we do things. Here in our church, you know, the speakers wear a suit, a jacket. But other churches, they're okay. You know, they can wear a t-shirt, jeans. You know, so who determines the culture? It is the pastor, the leadership of the church, sets the ministry culture based on conviction and kingdom values. They form the culture of the church. It is by design. The culture sets the spiritual atmosphere. It directs, it builds, it grows the people. So a recap, you know, of the challenge, vision, and mission. You know, Pastor Peter, first week of the year, Pastor Peter shared the challenge. He challenged us to walk boldly in faith, to have a progressive revelation of God, to have a progressive faith in God. Right? So, you know, Dr. Kenny shared about every life for Jesus. You know, basically, you know, three questions, you know, that Kenny asked. To Adam, where are you? So, no running away from our sin and guilt and shame. God clothed us with his grace, closeness is being restored. To Moses, you know, the question is asked, what is in your hand? We are reminded of our frailties. God has given us gifts, talents, and treasures. Let's release them for his purpose. Confidence with God is restored. So to Peter, Jesus asked the question, do you love me? So reminded that despite our failures, Jesus reaches out to us and restores us. Let's follow him. Calling of God is restored. So our mission, we are a spirit-led community that exalts Christ by equipping disciples to engage the world. So Kenny shared and asked the three M's of a community. So as a community of disciples, we are marked by love. God chooses us. Let's love people, serve them like Christ did. As a community of disciples, we are motivated by grace. God commissions us. Let's go at our side to share the gospel. As a community of disciples, we are moved by obedience. God commands us, let's follow him and do his bidding. So this morning, I want to talk about a culture that enables us to carry out the vision and mission of Zion God's mission. And this happens, and that happens through the core values. For that, let's revisit our core values of arise. Can you remember? What is our core values of arise? Can you remember? Do you know them? Do you know them? Okay, authentic. Okay, let me show you. All right. Authentic in our faith and expression. Say authentic in our faith and expression. Okay, R is relevant in our proclamation and incarnation. And we have I for intentional in our discipleship and outreach. And we have serving in church and society. And last but not the least, we have excellence in our perspectives and vocation. Yeah. Okay, let's go to A. Authentic in our faith and expression. Say with me, authentic in our faith and expression. Okay, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. So Brandon's statement sounds familiar, right? A Christian who claim, you know, to know the gospel, but they walk, their walk and their talk doesn't match. So no wonder pre-believers and even believers are stumbled. So how can we truly embrace authentic faith? How can sincere faith, what does sincere faith look like? So Paul tells Timothy, you know, but the aim of our instruction is love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. So writing to Timothy, his spiritual son, you know, Paul charged him to deal with false teachers in the church at Ephesus. So this false teaching somehow led to meaningless thought. It derailed the faith of the believers. So Paul's purpose in this instruction is clear, that all believers will be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. So what is sincere faith? Sincere faith is real, honest, and authentic faith. Disciples with sincere faith walk the talk that matches the gospel. So the opposite of sincere faith is hypocritical faith. Hypocritical faith is not. They are inconsistent in their faith. They wear a different mask for a different occasion. They say one thing, but they do another. So we can start today by being real first with ourselves and first honest before God. Before then, we can be honest with others. So what can we do? We can start to be being real before God, to be able to share our pain, to be able to share our struggles. So many times when we are plagued with pain, we are plagued with fear, struggles, guilt, we tend to run away from it. But we do not have to. This morning, let's come before God and be real. So let's be real ourselves before God and tell God our struggles, tell God our pain, tell God, you know, what is going through with us. And many times, you know, I think sometimes I have feelings of, you know, the kind of very strong emotions and feelings. I tend to sort of hide it and suppress it. But in, I think 2013, 2014, when I was in a silent retreat, the Lord began to speak to me to this aspect of being real to myself first. And whenever I have some very strong emotions, some stirrings, like I'm sad, I'm disappointed, I now learn to begin to express it before God and tell God just exactly what the emotions, what that pain, or what that, you know, that the strong emotion feeling is going through in my heart. So when I began to do that, you know, I began to tell God. God began to, you know, minister to me, and God began to, you know, restore me, strengthen me. So then, only then, if I'm real before God, then can I then be real with other people. All right. So let's start being real. So ask God to show you what you can share honestly before God, your struggles. So this will be the start of living an authentic faith. Okay, the second core value is ara. Ara is relevant. Relevant in our proclamation and incarnation. So say with me, relevant in our proclamation and incarnation. Relevant in our proclamation and in our incarnation. An outflow of faith that is authentic, being relevant, is how we live our lives here on earth, pointing people to Jesus. So writing to the believers in Corinth, you know, Paul shared what it means for him to do that. Okay, let's read this together, shall we? Even though I'm free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, meticulous, moralist, loose-living immoralist, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I enter into the world and try to experience things from their point of view. I become just about every sort of servant that is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-safe life. I did all this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in and on it. So you can feel the heartbeat of Paul for the people who are lost. He's doing everything possible to reach all people. So how was Paul relevant in his proclamation and incarnation? It is being a servant that he may enter into someone else's lives, to love them, to be real with them, to meet their needs, to lead them to Jesus. So we cannot share Christ, you know, from our own ivory tower, can we? Rachel Grace, you know, a Christian, a columnist, you know, is right. In the information of, in the age of information overload, the last thing we, you know, we need, the last thing any of us need is more information about God. We need a practice of incarnation by which God saves the lives of those whose intellect ascent has turned them dry as dust, who have run frighteningly low on the bread of life, who are dying to know more God in their bodies, not more about God, more God. So people want more God, not more about God. Let your life be the gospel that point people to Jesus. Let your life be the gospel to point people to Jesus. So what does it mean to, for us to be relevant in our proclamation and in our incarnation? You know, it is being down to earth, being real, living out, you know, the lives where our friends are, and connect with them. Spend the time with them, understand their struggles, understand their pain, enter into their world, and be able to meet their felt needs, at the same time to be able to discern and to discern their real needs. And thereafter, at the right time, we get, after having established their relationship, we can then begin to minister the gospel to them and point them to Jesus. And the cause of the connection, we can share with them our struggles, our pain. We can share with them how God has delivered us. And then that is what really it means to be relevant in that proclamation and incarnation. It really means living it out. And beware, you know, beware the people is. So as a church, to be relevant, let's pay attention to societal changes, needs of our community and nation. We must not be like the frog in the well. The silver tsunami has arrived. Our nation is feeling, you know, the impact of a rapidly aging population. I've just turned 60 this year. I celebrated my birthday, I think, a few years ago. You look around here, quite a number of us in their 60s and beyond. Look at it, left, right, I think our white hair. Not really a lot of white hair. But you look around us. Look around us, you know. I think there are a lot of us are 60 and some are actually on the way catching 60. No, today reported that in this year, we will have more than 440,000 elders above 65 years old. In 10 years' time, this will grow exponentially by two... Sorry. Oh, where it goes on. Excited. Okay, sorry. Very excited. Yeah. When I talk about elder care, because I'm growing, aging, concerned. Yeah. So, you know, 10 years' time, we'll hit 900,000. Right, Dr. Kenny? There's a great harvest waiting for us there, you know? Right? Yeah. So how should we respond? We should prayerfully consider engaging the senior citizens in a meaningful way. So if God has placed a burden in your heart to reach the elders, come and talk to Kenny North. Come and talk to the leadership team, all right? Let's pray, let's listen, and let us know what we'll work with you together, empower you, so that you will be able to reach, you know, the senior citizens in our nation. For those who are working, let's be engaged in the affairs of the marketplace. And last but not least, I always refer to Kenny. Kenny is always plugged in the marketplace ministry. Approach him. And he's most happy to have a conversation with you how you can be empowered to serve at the marketplace. So talking about this whole aspect of being relevant in proclamation and reincarnation, a case in point, you know, William, the brother-in-law of Pastor Peter, and Sister Nolina, Pastor Peter, you know, William has been a passive believer for quite a while. So Pastor Benny and Nolina took this opportunity to invite William and his wife to the Chinese ministry. And I tell you, you know, when they connect with the Chinese ministry, the people, the brothers and sisters there, immediately they welcome them. You know, they touch base with them, they speak their lingo, they embrace them, you know, the warmth and love. I tell you, William's life today is completely changed. He's now reading the Bible. He's falling in love with Jesus. You know, he's even connecting with the uncles and aunties in the coffee shop, telling them about Jesus Christ. Wonderful, right? Praise God. So in this new season of Built to Last, let's really reclaim intentional discipleship. Okay, let me go back. Okay. So in this postmodern age, You know, we're talking about reclaiming discipleship intentionally. Let's see where I lost my thought. So. Okay. Sorry. Yep. So let's ask God to show us how to live differently, how to reconnect in a real way, and to be able to be relevant in the community and marketplace to impact life. So we have covered A, which is authentic in our faith and expression. Okay, we have covered Ara, which is relevant in the proclamation and incarnation. So the next core value is intentional in our discipleship and outreach. Okay, here the Apostle Paul. Sorry. Can you bring me back to that point? Yeah. Okay. Bring me back to the point of the E. Yep. The Timothy. Yep. No, not this. I am. Can you bring me back to the point? You know. About you know the I. I stands for intentional in our discipleship and our outreach. Okay. All right, good. Oh, you hear you know, Paul talking to Timothy. Oh, Timothy, my son, be strong with the strength Christ Jesus gives you, for you must teach others those things you and many others have heard me speak about. Teach this great truth to trustworthy men who will, in turn, pass them on to others. In Rome, shortly before his death, Paul wrote his second letter to Timothy. It was a personal letter to his spiritual son and co-worker. Timothy had grown to be a leader. He was going to be a teacher under Paul's mentoring. He was in Ephesus overseeing the church. So Paul's intentional investment of time discipling Timothy was not in vain. Here Paul encouraged his spiritual son to pass on the truth that he learned from Paul to trustworthy men who will in turn pass on to others. So in this new season of Built to Last, let's reclaim discipleship intentionally. So in our modern age we are living in, churches are losing many of the people. Not just the demands you know, of work, but also the school and the other alternative lifestyle, worldviews, and values. Many of us here identify with this concern. But what must we do? Like Paul, who intentionally invests time to disciple Timothy, would also invest time to, could we also you know, take time you know, to walk with the young Timothy in our church. And then we have a lot of young, growing, young adults, a lot of youth and teenagers. Can we intentionally take time to walk with them? You know, to sort of, you know, disciple them, to mentor them. So, and I believe with all my heart that, you know, God really wants us, you know, to really move into intentional discipleship in this time and this season. And there must be leadership continuity at every level of ministry. So this morning, I challenge all of us to rise up to this urgent need to intentionally disciple and mentor the next generation of leaders. Well, 4 years ago, I was interning at Pastor Edmund Chan Church at the Covenant Evangelical Free Church. I caught the heart of God in intentional discipling. So I thank God after I returned you know, from you know, the interning, you know, God led me to a few young adults. And I thank God that by His grace, I've been walking with them, spending intentional time you know, to share with them as they share with me. And I've learned so much you know, through this experience, not only imparting, but at the same time, learning from them as well. And I thank God for the grace you know, that has given me. So in the church, God moved in His own time. He led us to Pastor Benny in the camp in 2018. He inspired us through a message. But before He left the camp, He told the council, He said, if you are interested in discipleship, call Him. Talk to Him. He'd be most happy to help us. So at the council retreat for that year, the focus was on raising the next generation of leaders. So Pastor Benny was approached to help us. So on the 8th of February, yeah, in a week's time, we'll kickstart this intentional discipleship training. Pastor Benny will train the cell group leaders, ministry leaders, the counselor on the foundations of an intentional disciple-making church. After our training, we have set aside 8 Sundays, starting 9 February to 28 March, to get the whole church on board to capture God's heart on intentional disciple-making. So cell groups will be done during the service. After each message, the message will be short, the church will break up into cell groups for discussion in this sanctuary here. Pastors, counsel, cell group leaders will facilitate the discussions with each cell group. All this will take place from 11 a.m. to 12:45. So you don't have to come on another day. So why are we doing all this in this season? It is to reclaim discipleship intentionally. So what about Alpha Outreach? We have intentionally moved Alpha to the second half of the year so that, you know, we can pray and intentionally network with our friends. So tell the person beside you, hey, be intentional in discipleship and outreach. Tell the person beside you, hey, be intentional in discipleship and outreach. Yeah. So what must you do? We're talking about Alpha. To be intentional, what must you do? Connect with your friends right now. So now until September, you got another 8-9 months, right? So intentionally connect with them. Have a meal with them. Engage them. And then when the time for Alpha come, they're all ready. We can invite them. And we're going to have a great harvest of souls. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Right. So will you come along? Let's do this intentionally for the glory of God. Amen? Let's recap the 3 core values. Right. So authentic in our faith and expression, first core value. Second core value, relevant in our proclamation and incarnation. The third core value, intentional in our discipleship and outreach. So our fourth core value stands for S, serving in church and society. Right? Paul, in his salutation to the Christians in Rome, wrote, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Paul identified himself first as a servant of Christ, then comes the office of an apostle. Foremost, Paul was a servant. It is translated doulos. Doulos in Greek means bond servant. So in the New Testament, the bond servant, they are a property of a Roman citizen. They hold no right to leave the place of service. So a bond servant to Jesus, as a bond servant to Jesus, we belong exclusively to Jesus. We serve Jesus, our one Lord and Master. So we serve Him not because we have to. We serve Him because it is a privilege and honor. We serve not because of what we can do for the Lord. We serve Him because of what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. He loves us and He died for us. Amen? So we serve. We are saved to serve God. This is our privilege. So as servants, we serve humbly on His terms, not on our own terms, not depending on our own comfort and convenience. And we are not volunteers, as what Kenny has mentioned the other time. We doesn't belong to a social club. We are a community of believers, disciples. We are servants of a living God, serving Christ. So this is our philosophy of serving. Serving in the church. Paul, teaching the believers in Rome, recorded for us in Romans 12, verse 4 to 8, and taught them they are part of the body of Christ. Each one of us is given a spiritual gift, at least a spiritual gift. And they are to use that spiritual gift to serve the body of Christ. So we should have no excuse to say, I don't have any gift, so I don't serve. I have good news for you. You don't need to know your gift to serve. You start serving to know your gift. Amen? Wow. I remember that I started serving when I joined a cell group, you know, in Topayo. Remember the Topayo days? We had those. Oh, no. No. Okay. Remember in Topayo days? You know, we have to actually move in and we have to open the collapsible gates, the door. Then we have to carry the plank. We're going to push it over to the back, you know, the drain to cover that. And then remember, we have to bring all the chairs, set it up. And after that, remember, we're going to put all the hymn books on it. And after service is over, we collect all the chairs back, we put all the hymn books back, we close the concert, we bring the planks back. So that's how I started serving the Lord. You know, do I need the gift of door opening? I don't need that. What I need is really a heart of a servant to be able to serve the needs of other people. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So all of us, We can be servants of a living God by starting all standing there and greeting people. Breakfast at Zion. All right, man. Nolin, you are very fast. Breakfast at Zion. So likewise, as servants of God, it is a privilege to serve God with the gifts that God has given us in the marketplace. We can live out our faith where God has placed us. Amen? So as a police officer, one can reach another police officer like what I used to do. I spend at least 9 to 10 hours working with fellow police officer, and I know their struggles. I know their pain. I know their temptations they go through. So who else can reach a police officer? Me, because I'm a police officer, ex-police officer. So who can reach a retiree? A retiree, yeah. So you can go down on the ground and lakopi, kako, you know, with the senior citizens, right? That's how you reach, you know, the uncle, aunties, right? As a retiree. So you have a job to do. Praise the Lord. So what I'm trying to say is that really, you know, it's really, you know, wherever you are, God can use us to be able to serve the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we are called to serve God wherever He has placed us. I want to thank God, you know, for Brother coming. He's one of the great examples of what it means to serve in the church and society. He brings food, deliver food to people, the residents that block A. Not only that, he contributes to society. Let's read that. Understood. It's all up there. At the National Day rally last year, our PM Lee Hsien Loong commented him in his Facebook, setting out a webpage to teach others the meaning of our national anthem by translating the Malay words to English. So now readers can reinforce their learning via quizzes. Wow. Praise the Lord. Well done, man. Come in. Keep it up. Yeah. So what about you? Is there a specific area God is calling you to serve Him today? How can you start serving? You know, in your family, in school, your colleagues in your workplace. So God bless us. Bless us, you know, with each one with a wonderful gift, right, of talents. So serve God wherever God has placed you, in the marketplace, in society, in church. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let's go to E. All right. E is really excellence in the perspective and vocation. So let's shout it out. Excellence in the perspective and vocation. Excellence in the perspective and vocation. So sharing the believers in Corinth, Paul exhort them, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. If excellence is our core value, you know, so if you teach, you teach excellently. If you play the drum, you play the drum excellently. So if you are a defender, you stand out there and you greet each one passionately with a smile and welcome them. Everybody see that, see you, wow, they say, I've seen God. Wow, praise the Lord. So in everything we do it excellently for the glory of God. So it's a way we think. And how we work, we do it for the glory of God. So in our vocation, I'm not just referring to people who are working out there. I refer to students as well. You know, students, give your best to Jesus. So, you know, do well for the glory of God. So let's serve. Let's serve with our heart, with all our soul. Because it is Christ we are serving and not men. We want to glorify God and bring Him glory. Right? We thank God for members in our church as we live out these core values of excellence in their vocation. And as a church, we want to affirm, you know, Brother Kenny, Dr. Kenny, and Melvin. You know, at the Singapore HR Award 2019, Kenny was awarded the leading CEO award in recognition of exemplary leadership and visionary excellence at St. Luke Elder Care. Melvin was awarded the Outstanding Administrative Star Award at the SingHealth GCO Excellence Award 2019. Well done. We are proud of you. You are living out the core values of Zion Gospel Mission. Be excellence in our vocation. But for those who are not recognized publicly, God knows you. Amen? He knows your faithfulness. He knows your passion. Amen? He knows you are doing your best for the glory of God. So let's serve God excellently wherever God has placed us. For His glory. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Amen? So we want to be disciples that will live up, arise. Let's really, really shut it out, you know, these five core values, shall we? Authentic in our faith and expression. Okay, come on, with passion. Relevant in our proclamation and incarnation. Right? Intentional in our discipleship and outreach. And serving in church and society. Last but not the least, excellence in our perspective and vocation. Amen. Praise the Lord. All glory to Jesus. Amen. So we step into this new chapter. May God bring us together on the new page as he writes a new chapter of Zion Gospel Mission. So this afternoon, God is calling us to rise as one. Amen. And but not by our own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit to live up the core values, our mission, and our vision. This is the work of God. He loves the church. Amen. He died for this church. God is bringing us together as his church into his plans and his purposes. So let's co-labor together with Jesus, our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. You know, not in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. But God is working in us, giving us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. And everybody say, amen. Let's sing this song, you know, Jesus be the center of our church. As we just close, shall we just rise and ask the musicians, the worship leader to lead us? I hand over to Pastor Peter. Let's sing this song. Let's offer ourselves, you know, once again, afresh as we start this new year. You know, to honor God. You know, to embrace, you know, what the Lord is doing in our church.